Becoming like Jesus. I struggled with a title for my sermon this morning, but as I settled on these words, I thought, that is amazing. It's a new year, and God has a plan for us. He wants us to become more like Jesus, actually to be like Jesus. Christine prayed, spoke earlier about Christ, God is in us. And so often I know that I'm not really conscious of that. I'm not conscious of God's plan and purpose for me. So Susan's already done this a bit. I was going to start by asking, what are your hopes and aspirations for 2025? Do you have any?
More of Jesus.
Right, tipped you off there, didn't I? Sorry, I've got a problem with this earpiece. Here we go. Each year I spend time, not very much time to be perfectly honest, thinking what are my plans for the year ahead. And actually 2024 was a great year for me. I actually ticked off some of the things that were on my to-do list. That was astonishing. And I thought I'm going to go into the new year with great hopes and expectations. And I've only made one resolution for the year, to keep a daily journal. And yeah, that was brilliant until day two. But I'm planning to carry on writing and think about what God has. But quite often I have a year and a plan, and it's a tick list of things to do. I think this year God has a plan for me about things he wants me to be. And it's about for each one of us. It's what does he want you to be this year? In fact, what does he want you to be? And what is he going to build into you this year? See, my conviction is that Jesus is waiting for us. He's calling us to himself. He's calling us to be more like himself. He wants us to show Jesus in our lives. And that's quite a big challenge in a way, isn't it? Because we rightly look at Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Holy Son of God, and think, I could never be like him. But Jesus says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Be like me. So this is by way of introduction to our spring series. So hopefully it's a kind of a bit of a light touch about why we are going to do a series on various aspects of Christian living. Actually, before I get into that, I do need to share this. I plan to say something about Isaiah 40. You can read the words there. Just to say that for many years Susan and I couldn't have children, and then quite a few years ago, but after 10 years we were blessed with the surprise joy of having a son, and then a few years later a daughter. And each night now, or once a week, I have the blessed opportunity of settling my grandson to sleep. Something I'd never expected. And to have children of my own and a grandson. And now, whenever I settle him, I pray with him, and sometimes I sing to him words based on this song. Don't you know? The everlasting God never grows tired or weary. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint, and they will soar in eagle's wings. And I pray that with my grandson, maybe once a month when I'm setting him down to sleep, and sometimes he says, pop, pop, please sing that song for me. And you know, I just have to reflect and say that is just such a blessing from God that I have a grandson and he loves to hear me singing about God. That's just wonderful. So I thought I'd start with that because I just have to say it, because open my heart a bit. Oh, whoa, this is a fast clicker. Wow. Am I going forwards or backwards? I've got it upside down. Have I? No? Probably. No. I think it's... Ah, right. Oh, now I'm into your thing, Ruth. Sorry.
Do you want a slide?
I'll stop on this one. Thank you, Ruth. Hopefully I can click the click gently going forward. So, our theme for the coming series is Follow Me. With our New Year expectations, Follow Me. See, my belief is Jesus is waiting for us to come to him. And as it said in Mark, he said to the disciples, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. This is the RSV translation. And I like this a bit better because the NIV just says, I will make you fishers of men. And I kind of often have a struggle thinking, I haven't suddenly been made a fisher of men. But this translation brings out the fact that it's a work that God is doing in our lives. And what we're going to do in our spring series is go through various things that talk about how we can help and enable God to do his work in our lives. So when it says follow me, this is in Mark, and the commentators say in Mark, follow me is like a call to a rabbi. It's an instruction for people to come and follow a rabbi. And you may know that in the first century, rabbis would gather students among them, and they would live with them, pray with them, work with them, and become like the rabbis. And the goal for the rabbi was to bring his students to a place where they would be such a follower of God, like themselves, that they could then pass that on to others. And that's a life of coming close to the rabbi. So they would live with them, they would eat with them, they would drink with them, they would go and pray, walk with them. They would follow all of their lifestyle practices so that they could become more like them. And that's what our series is going to be like. You see, God calls us. Jesus has called us to be followers too, like the first disciples, to be ones who are apprentices to him, to his life, to know how he lived. And that comes with a promise. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a blessing to have the light of life. And of course we can think back to the introduction to John's Gospel when he speaks about the light of life coming into the world and transforming the world as Jesus came into the world. And Paul in Ephesians, I'm glad Susan spoke from Ephesians earlier. Last year we spoke from Ephesians for a while. And I love this book. And Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I'll get my other sheet of paper. I won't have to keep on turning to the screen. You know, Jesus calls us to follow him because he loves us. And that's amazing that God loves us. He loves me and he loves you. But he doesn't expect us just to sit passively and receive that love. He wants us to follow him, to live lives that reflect all that he is in the world and all that he is to us. He wants us to be his apprentices. So why would we want to be apprentices? What's our goal? Well, there are three things, and they follow one from another. The first thing is to be with Jesus. If we do no more as apprentices, being with Jesus is a wonderful start, a blessed place to be, to find different ways in our life to be close to Jesus. And then, as I said before, the goal of an apprentice, of a rabbi's apprentice, of a disciple, is to become like their rabbi. And isn't it amazing that God wants us and believes in us to become like Jesus? Now, I don't always sit and think about that, but that is just so amazing and glorious that Keith Saunders could be made more like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus in this world. What a gift God has for us when we draw near to Jesus, so that we can do as he did in the world. You know, often when I read that first passage from Mark, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men, I jump straight to the doing and think I can't do it. But Jesus says, follow me. Come to me first, and then you can live as I lived. Paul puts it this way, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's not something that Jesus just said to his first disciples, but it's something that Paul emphasizes, is something, if you see someone who's going well in the faith, following Jesus well, see their example and follow that. But most of all, make sure you're following a good example. So, in our series, Come Follow Me, we'll be looking at a whole load of things, and happily there are expert preachers among us like Stephen and Frank, who's not here today, and Susan, who will begin to unpack some of these practices of Jesus, things that Jesus did. He prayed. We know he went up on mountains and prayed. He observed the Sabbath. He went and had times of quiet and solitude. And sometimes I find that I can just observe those and think, well, that's what Jesus did because he was great. But I think as we go into this new year, Jesus wants us to draw closer to him and know that some of the things he did are things that will bring us blessing and bring us closer to God. There's our community. The disciples, when a rabbi called disciples, there would be a group. There wouldn't be just one. They'd be in community. They'd work together, encouraging and supporting each other. We spend a lot of time in the modern church wrestling over scripture, and I love reading the Bible, but actually it's only one of the 10 things here that God wants us to build into our lives. But having said that, God has given us his word, and he would encourage us to look at it each day. Fasting is a practice I'm not very familiar with. Confession, actually dealing with our sin, being generous, serving our communities and witnessing to Jesus. And I think that's so important to me. It is actually on the list. I sometimes find it very difficult to witness to Jesus, but actually part of following him is absolutely knowing that he wants us to tell people about Jesus. You know, in the notice that I sent out to the church about this series, I included a quote from Dallas Willard, and In a way, this kind of follows on from the Old Testament idea that the nations would come to Zion to learn about God. Well, Dallas Willard says, the local assembly, for its part, can then become an academy where people throng from the surrounding community to learn how to live. It will be a school of life. For a disciple is but a pupil and a student. A school of life where all aspects of that life that we've seen in the New Testament are practiced and mastered under those who themselves mastered them through practice. So sometimes I think we're going to just keep the church going next year. I think God says this church is to be a place for the surrounding community to learn how to live, to learn life, to enjoy life, to meet with Jesus, to see the things that Jesus did in the world, to bring in peace and calm, dealing with sin, making us new. That is what the church is about. If I've got one dream for this year, is to see our church being a place where people come to because they want to know life. They want to enjoy life. They want to know how to live. They want to share life with others. It says in Colossians, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or as the Message puts it, the mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ is in you. So therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. You see, it's not just a hopeful aspiration of Dallas Willard and people who like his works, but it's God's plan to make known among the world the glorious riches of Christ in us. Let's dream of that for the coming year. And as we go through these practices, seek to see God making those things come about in our life. I thought I'd just have a little break from some of that. I don't know if any of you have seen this cartoon before. Rex is a favourite dog of the cartoonist Larson. But here, high above the hushed crowd, Rex tried to remain focused. Still, he couldn't shake one nagging thought. He was an old dog, and this was a new trick. You know, particularly for our congregation here, some of us are perhaps oldish dogs, and we might feel that God is asking us to perform a new trick, to do something new. But actually, many of these practices we've talked about are ones we've known for years. And I think God wants us to get a bit better at them. So I love Rex, and I love his passion and his commitment to his new trick. I'd love us to be like Rex, totally committed to that. I mean, he's juggling, I think he's got a cat in his mouth, as well as juggling balls and balancing something on his head, on a unicycle, on a high wire. That's amazing. That's the Christian life for you in the new year. So what do we do? We press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. I love that. Just a reminder that we have already attained stuff. Sometimes when I see things ahead of me, I get discouraged and forget how far I've already come. but we have already come a long way with God. The exciting thing is, he wants us to come further, to come closer. And like Paul, join together in following Paul's example. Brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Seek out those people who are living the life of Paul, of Jesus. Actually, the life of Jesus, modelled by Paul, modelled by many people we know around us. And if you see something that someone is doing well, go to them, learn from them. Move forward with them. I urge you to imitate me, Paul says. I struggle to say to anyone, imitate me. But there must be things where God thinks, yeah, there are people who could learn something from me. May I be ready to show it to them. I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. And I find that a constant challenge. How well do I live up to what I say with my mouth? Well, I try, and God is gracious and continues to want to use me. And so I want to use each one of us. A passage that's very familiar to us is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, says the NIV. Here it says, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behaviour and customs of the world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. So the challenge is what's forming us, and that's why we want to go into this series of looking at the practices of Jesus. Because I know, I was very disciplined this morning, I didn't pick up my phone and look at the news. But it's so easy for us now to get captivated by all the things in our world and get diverted away from following Jesus. And the purposes of these practices that we're reflecting on and to work on are for us to displace the mess and get some of the goodness of Jesus in our lives. But one of the things about it is Jesus was a fun-loving guy. You know, so often when I think about being a disciple, I think about being disciplined. And I remember the days when the headmaster at school smacked me on the bottom with a cane because I hadn't behaved quite right. You know, it's so easy for that idea of discipline to be about pain and breaking rules. But Jesus is a fun-loving guy. He was criticised for eating and drinking with people. For going into the homes of tax collectors and celebrating with them. Many of his parables talk about a great banquet that God is inviting us to. He sees the world as something glorious and fun and joyous. Yeah, sometimes I have to admit that in my scrolling through stuff, I find there's someone I've enjoyed reading and I think, oh, I wonder what people think of him. And there are so many people in the Christian church who are ready to say, that person's not quite got it right. You know, they've got to be more serious and disciplined. And yet, God wants us to enjoy the life he's given us. I don't think he's brought me here for 70 years of misery. The problem is our life outside often does make things difficult. But God wants us to draw us into the joy of his presence. And to do that, we need to push out some of those awful influences that are around us. You know, the master banker tasted the water that had been turned into wine. It was right at the beginning of John's Gospel. This is what Jesus wants to do. Make sure the party is good. Make sure life is good. So that we, with unveiled faces, could contemplate the Lord's glory and be transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. One of the dangers of my experience is I know I can't do it, and I get distressed and depressed because I can't do it. But I wanted to share that. There's another reason I wanted to share that passage in Isaiah at the beginning. Because God never tires of lifting us up, of strengthening us and renewing us. And Joel said this, I will pour out my spirits on all people, every one of us. God will pour out his spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And I'm grateful that I can dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. As we think about the practices and what we can do to orient our life towards God, one thing we have to remember is he is at work in us by his spirit. That spirit of Christ that is alive, the spirit of God that is alive inside each one of us. So, brothers and sisters, so we can have follow these practices, not because they're a cage that we've got to live within, but because they're opportunities for us to bring life into our lives. And I'm looking forward to hearing people expound on these passages and talk about how God can bring more joy into my life and your life, and into the lives of my neighbours and friends. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. We can have confidence that God is at work in us, that he's done all that was necessary for us to draw near to God with a sincere heart. Just to close then, I want to just share this prayer from Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Not a small prayer, but we bring it to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.